15th of January, the Ides of January, Ides of January, the 28th day of the month of Tevis. We are up to Halacha Day of Perek Yud. So Perek Yud actually has several halachas we could have gone to. There's the discussion here about getting drunk, that the command to Aaron, make sure you don't go into Avodah of the Beis HaMikdash while one is drunk, and does it have applications towards davening when one is intoxicated. But I think most prominent is probably the halachos of Avelos, even though they may or may not be learned out from here. So the Pasuk tells us in Perek Yud, Pasuk Vayor Moshe El Aaron Ulazar Uli Tamar, that is after Nadav and Avihu die. So Hashem... Vav, six. So he says to Aaron and Elazar, Nitamar b'Avanav, right? Roshechem al tifru, right? Do not shear your heads or your hair. Uvigdechem lo tifrom, and nor shall you rend your garments lo tamusu, and then you will not die. I mean, you will not. It sounds like there's some kind of chi of misa b'de shemayim that is involved here. And everybody will cry for the burning that took place. But the first two terms are very important, right? Your heads shall not be shorn, and your clothes shall not be. You shall not rend your garments. So the Gemara in Maseches Moed Katan actually learns from here and says, "Aha! You see from here that there is a that this is the source for two of the very important nihuge avelos, actions that one does when one is an avel. One is not to get a haircut, and number two, to tear one's garment. Meaning Aaron and his sons are told not to do it, implying that otherwise it should be done. So the Gemara tells us in Moed Katan Daf Yud Dalet Amud Beis, Moed Katan, the last parak of Moed Katan, is where most of the halachas of avelos are found. So it says Mikan da avel aser betasvar. So from this pasuk we learn that an avel is prohibited from cutting their hair. That from the fact that Aaron was told that you shouldn't cut your hair, that you should cut your hair, you should not allow your hair to grow long. From here we see that for everybody else, it is prohibited. Fine. So right. So there is a little bit of a question. What is the one day aspect? I mean, there's a prohibition of cutting your hair for one day. So there is an idea that a Kohen Gadol would get his hair cut very regularly, that the Gemara talks about. That might have been the thing at that time. But, well, it's only the... Well, how long is his period of mourning? So this is one of the major questions. This is one of the major sources for the question of whether Avelus is Doraisa or Durabana, whether it's biblical or whether it is only a Din Durabana. So we have an assumption to say, and most Rishonim actually assume that it's only a Din Durabana. It's only a rabbinic thing, even though it seems like it's learning out, being learned out from Psukim here. It's being learned out from verses. So how do you understand if it's being learned out from a Pasuk? Isn't that a clear indication that it's a Din Doraisa? So those Rishonim kind of shrug their shoulders. The Ramban actually on these pasuk, Rashi on this pasuk says atiglusar mikan sha'avil aser betasparis. That's a Rashi. From here we see that an avil is prohibited from cutting your hair, and sounding like it's a din d'oraisa. Rashi sounds very much like it's a din d'oraisa. So the Ramban says no, not so fast. Avilus is really only a din d'rabbanan. It really only is something that is rabbinically prohibited. What do we do with this pasuk? So it's something the Ramban calls an asmachta. We have this somewhat regularly, that it's a kind of a hint that is found in the Torah, there's a source in the Torah, but doesn't mean that it is a real bona fide din d'oraisa, biblical prohibition, which therefore carries along with it the various ramifications of whether something is d'oraisa or d'rabbanan, most notably what we do in the case of suffix. So we have a rule by Avelus, Dine Avelus Lekula, that any time that there's a question when it comes to the laws of Avelus, we always paskin Lekula, we always paskin leniently. In that case, how can you have Machlokas and right? You should always go leniently? Well, there's details on how that is invoked. I mean, there are people, obviously, that are more Machmir, showering during when one is in Shiva Bisman Hazeh. So there are posting that will say, absolutely not. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to shower. While other posting say, no, you know, that might have been in the old days. Nowadays, where people shower very regularly, it would be considered tsar, would be considered painful for one not to shower at all over the course of Shiva. So that is a machlokas. That's a machlokas when it comes to Avelus. And different posting end up saying different things on that. So why don't we just say divrei mekel ba'avil? You could always go lekula. So we'll save that perhaps for another time. But what comes out here So from here as well, the Rambam, this is also serves as the source that the Gemara also goes on and says, sorry, the very next Gemara says, how do we know that the prohibition of Tasporis is actually for 30 days? I mean, we don't just refrain from cutting our hair over the course of Shiva. We have 30 days that we, maybe even more than that, that one doesn't cut their hair. So where do we get that from? So the Gemara continues on. This is a different Gemara. This is on Daf Tesam and Beis and Maseches Moikatan. So Ksiv Hacha Rashechem Al Tifro, that it says here you shouldn't cut your, well, don't not cut your hair. And then it says, by Nazir, Gadol Peras Sarosho, that you should be growing the hair on your head. So ma'alahalan, what is the minimum amount of time that one could be a nazir? So 30 days. So the year would be 30 days. That's what the Gemara says. So we learn out as well the idea that 30 days is the minimal, is the time that one doesn't cut their hair when it comes to avelus. So it's interesting is if you look in the Rambam says, that Durabanan, that is a Din Durabanan, that we, well, Divrei Sofrim, according to the Rambam, is, okay, whatever he means by Divrei Sofrim, that an Avel should be knowing, should keep some of the laws of Avelus for 30 days. Minayin Samchu L'Shilashim, and where do we get this idea for 30 days? So
when they buried Yaakov, they mourned for 30 days.
They mourned for Yaakov for 30 days. Those are the Mitzrim that mourned for 30 days. Huh? Those were the Mitzrim, I think, that mourned for 30 days. By Yaakov, it says...
Something about 30
maybe it's Aaron you're thinking of.
Aaron also had a long mourning period. That's true. Yaakov dies. Yosef ordered his servants, right? A 40-day term was completed. And then they mourned in Egypt for 70 days. Now I want to take him out of the land of Egypt. So that was a pretty long time. By Aaron, it was also, I got to check in Parshas Chukas, what was the period of Aaron? Oh, that's where the... Aaron dies in Chukas. Very good. They all mourned for 30 days. Okay. That's not the Rambam source, though. The Rambam source is that she cried for her father and her mother for a month. Where is that? Do we know where that is? What girl is mourning for her? What? Very good. Parshas Ki Teitzei. What's the mitzvah? The din of
she has the
captive,
right.
The din of the fast Torah. So it says that she cries to her parents 30 days, and the Rambam says, "Aha, mikasha avel mitzar kol shoshim." For here we see that an avel mitzar for all 30 days. So first of all, it's very interesting. Whenever the Rambam quotes a source, because the Rambam generally doesn't quote sources. So one thing is, why is the Rambam here quoting a source? And the Rambam also jumps in and says, not only is he quoting a source, which is odd, he's also quoting the wrong source, right? Because the source is given in the Gemara having to do with this connection from one to the other, connection to Hilchos Naziris. Where is the Rambam coming with this other source in someplace else?
Jewish,
right? They were not even Jewish, correct? Yeah. It's interesting. So the other Mephorshim here, the Torah Tamima picks up on this and says that, well, it goes from Magid Avram. The Magid Avram says that the source for the Rambam is a Yerushalmi. That's always an easy out. Right? He adds in brackets, Vanuchi lo mitzasi. I never found a Yerushalmi. I don't really know where the Rambam got it from. But okay, so maybe you could claim that it's Yerushalmi. But even if that's the case, so generally we pass in like Bavli over Yerushalmi. So why would the Rambam be quoting the Yerushalmi source that may or may not exist? I don't know. I'm not an expert in Yerushalmi. May or may not exist. But certainly the Bavli source should be good enough. So the Torah Tamina comes and gives a very interesting idea, not just for this, but just in general. He says maybe the reason for the Rambam that left it out is because he assumes that Gezeirah Shavah is only an Asmachta. mean, the idea that how is the parah work? There is a gezeirah. It says it here. It says it there. So yon ki matzin b'chomakim b'gemar d'aveir shoshim ahumi d'rabanan. But we don't assume that it's d'oraisa. We assume that aveir is only d'rabanan, and that's why we're making on so many things. V'maisag gezeirah shava zu gemur. If it was really a gezeirah shava, lo yitakin d'havi d'rabanan. You can't say that it's d'rabanan. Right, the gzeira shava achs b'yud gimel midos shabetorah. If it's a gzeira shava, it's one of the 13 midos in the Torah. If it's one of those 13 midos in the Torah that gives it the status of a din d'oraisa, v'yarm li'olam al t'gzeira shava kala be'necham. We have a gemara, there's a gemara Maseches Krisus that he quotes, that you shouldn't just make up gzeira shava, you shouldn't treat gzeira shavas lightly. So if you're going to go with that style of learning, says the Torah Tamima, that's an admittance that it's d'oraisa, which might be very well why the Ravid was very interested in learning that way, because the Ravid actually is the main rishon that holds that the laws of Avelus are d'oraisa. So he says, hey, there's a gzeir shava, which ends up being a proof for me because I hold that Avelus is d'oraisa. So this Torah Tamima explains, I know the Rambam perhaps went to the other source, because the Rambam holds that Avelus is only a din d'rabbanan, and if Avelus is only a din d'rabbanan, you can't go ahead quoting gzeir shavas, and therefore we're going to use the source of Yifas Tohar as the source that Avelus for a parent is 30 days. Why not by Aaron? Aaron says by Yifku, so I'm going to open the door for... Right, so it says that was Vayivku Kol Beis Yisrael, that all of the Jewish people were mourning. So we don't necessarily have an indication about parents. Yifas Torah is specifically about parents, so that perhaps teaches the din of Shloshim.
They weren't Jewish.
Even though they weren't Jewish.
We use the source of Sarah's mother on Rosh Hashanah.
Although this might be just recalling that here the way the Torah Tamima quotes it is Samach Nachon Hamafurish B'Torah, the Derech HaAvil Hitzdar Shloshim Yom. He's saying that's human nature, meaning it could, right, that's what we see. We see that a person mourns for their parents for 30 days. That's the source that he's giving us. It's not a Jewish thing; it's a human thing, and that's why he's going to go ahead and use that as a source. Right, and the Torah Tamima continues on and says, and based on this, you have an added advantage that the prohibition, a lot of prohibitions of Shiva extend to Shloshim. Now, a lot of them don't apply Bizman Hazeh, right? But the idea and theory of prohibitions of not showering and not washing, etc. So if you look in Shulchan Aruch, it actually says those apply for the entire Shloshim. And nowadays that would become too much. We're not going to shower for 30 days. That's pretty hard to imagine. But the Torah Tamima points out that according to the Ravid, that it's learned out by, or really according to the Gemara, that it's learned out via this Gezeirah Shava, so then that's only a hair-cutting thing. Meaning we're going to connect the laws of Nazir to the laws of mourning, and the laws of Nazir only have to do with hair. So how would you then extend all the other laws of mourning over the course of the 30 days? But according to the Rambam, then it's telling us about human nature, that that's his source, so then we understand very well that many of the other halachos of Shiva are then going to extend over the course of Shloshim as well. Fine. Now you have a bit of a problem. How then do you understand the Gemara? Right? The Gemara, the Bavli quoted this idea of a Gzeir Shabbat going from one to the other. So the Rambam says, I don't like that Gemara, I like the other Gemara. Well, okay, well, what do you mean? That implies that the Bavli thought that it was Doraisa. So the thought came to me that it could be that this Doraisa, Derabanan thing, whether Avelis is biblical or rabbinic, this is one of these like major machlokasim that go back and forth. It's unclear what the resolution is. We probably paskin it's the Rabbanan, but it's one of these big machlokasim. It could be those machlokasim existed during the time of the Gemara as well. They point out... We paskin... Well, it's a suffix whether it's right to the Rabbanan. We have the right to paskin the Kula. That's how you might be able to say it. I mean, or it could be that it's ingrained within the halachas. I mean, there is an idea, like Hilchos Chol Hamoed. Hilchos Chol, and actually, this is the source. The source is, this is partly why the laws of Avelis are in Moed Katan for this idea.
If we paskin that it was derisive,
right,
then so many people have so many different situations. You would constantly be stuck classifying people as being over a Torah commandment.
So two ways to resolve that. Meaning,
matter. You have to
right. So the line of Avilus, the Ramikul by Avilus, is not just something that we say based on the fact that it's Darabanan. The Gemara itself says that. So if you're going to assume that the laws of Avilus are Doraisas, then you have to account for that Gemara. So how are you going to account for that Gemara? So one of the ways of accounting for that Gemara is to say, even though it's Doraisa, we're gonna go Lukula. Why? Because the laws, it's a good comparison to Hilchos Chol Hamoed. Hilchos Chol Hamoed is Doraisa, right? But yet there's so many kulas in it. I mean, there's so many things that we say, yeah, but behefsim ru, if you're going to lose a lot of money, so then we'll like... So that's not Doraisa talk, that's the Rabbanan talk. Mm-hmm. So how do we get away with saying that? So the Ran in Maseches Moed Katan explains that there's a concept called... The phraseology is leaving me right now. That Kadosh Baruch Hu left, there's a din d'oraisa, you have to keep Chol Hamoed. Where are all the details of Chol Hamoed? So Hashem left space for the Chachamim to define Chol Hamoed. Same thing by Yom Kippur as well. We make the same comment by Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, the prohibitions, v'nisim es nafsho seichem. Right, so what do we know? What are the prohibitions of Yom Kippur? So all of them, not don't eat, and no the leather shoes, and marital relations, all those. So how does that come out of Inoy? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu left space for us to define. So all of those are considered Isurei Doraisa, but yet they're... The Rabbanan have the right also to kind of put in kulas. And there are kulas. There are kulas for a kala, for a woman who just got married. There's leniencies for somebody who's not healthy, etc. I mean, how does those play in? Those play in because even though it's a din d'oraisa, there was room that was left by the Rabbanan in order to allow for those kulas. So you would say the same thing by Avelis, that the theory of Avelis is d'oraisa. If you assume that Avelis is d'oraisa, you would say there's something that is d'oraisa. But how is that? So then the Rabbanan come along and define it, and they have the right to also stick in with those halachos, the idea of divrei mekel ba'avel, the idea that one's going to be...
This is the oral Torah, that the details...
Oral Torah can mean many things. Oral Torah, Oral Torah might mean that came down from Moshe and Harsinai. I mean, Moshe taught the laws of Avelis. So what we're saying is that's not necessarily true. We have an idea called Avelis. How those play out was then defined over the ensuing generations by the Rabbanim. Right? It's a little different than saying, oh, it's not halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. Right? It's not. That's the point. It's not a lechem v'shem v'sinai. Rather, it's something else. Okay, so I just wanted to discuss a few of those halachos that I don't know if we're going to get to tearing kriya. At least the ideas of one growing their hair over the course of Shulishim. So that's what it ends up being. That over the course of Shulishim, one observes these laws of Avelis. So When is one permitted to get their haircut? How does that work? So the Shulchan Aruch Shimon Shin Sadi Sif Dalit says, "Akol Mesim Megaleach La'achar Shloshim Yom." For all Mesim, one shaves after 30 days. So that's when the Shloshim ends. However, Al Aviv Yal Imo, but a father and mother, Ad Shi Garu Bo Chaveruv, until your friend comes and gives you muster and tells you look terrible. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. So technically, the halachos of parents isn't, and we are minug. What we're used to is al Shloshim. That's when you get to get your haircut. So that's not what the din is in Shulchan Aruch. That's a din by everybody else. If one is mourning for a sibling or mourning for a child, so then it ends, but that's when Avelis ends. Avelis ends at Shloshim, and that's it. There's nothing more to talk about. But for a parent, Avelis continues on for the 11 months. So the lacha is until Achi Gorbo Chaberuf. So we normally come along and say, yeah, but after 30 days, it's probably enough. All right, you've gone long enough. But if you look in the Ramah, it's not so simple. The Ein HaRegel Mahani in Pagot Kodem Shigar Bochaveiro. One second, it continues on here. The Shir Garabo Plukta, right? The Noagim Begimel Chadashim. What is this measure of until people mock you? So it says actually 3 months. That's what it says in Ramah. It has to wait 3 months. And he continues on and says, Uvumukomus Elu, where we live. Krakow, Noah Gimshaim is stopping al avi aim, kol yudbez chodesh, that they would not cut their hair for their parents for the entire 12 months. Vimulut sorech, unless they had some kind of need to do so, kagon shehichbet alav sara, osha, being the hair got very heavy, osha halach bin ovdi kochavim, or he was a business guy, he had to deal with ovdi kochavim, umisnavel bin ehem, right, besaro sav, demutril sapre. So if that's the case, then he would be permitted to get his hair cut even earlier. But what does it seem? It seems absent of that, one should let their hair grow. So what's he driving at here? So it depends very much on one's place. So if you live in Krakow, apparently that was the minhag. People would just grow their hair, and it wasn't considered out of the ordinary. So, okay, so people would, in theory, possibly even grow their hair the entire year. If you live in other places where after 30 days already, that's considered like a little, that's a somewhat significant growth, so then that would be the minhag. So that's how our minhag changed from what it says in the Ramah. The Ramah says 3 months. In Ramah, in Krakow, even more so. But otherwise, Philadelphia, one gonna get their hair cut.
Stop saying Kaddish at 11 months, but they keep their hair growing till 12?
Correct. Correct, right, because stopping to say Kaddish doesn't end Avelis. Stopping to say Kaddish is independent, but the laws of Avelis extend for all 12 months. They would go all 12 months unless it becomes difficult, yeah, which one can imagine it becoming difficult. I actually point out from here, the Rav Soloveitchik had a famous idea that the laws of Sfiras HaOmer line up with the laws of the Yud Beis Chodesh. So that's why, actually, he held that one can shave during Sfiras HaOmer, because the minhag is that people shave regularly. So if the minhag is that people shave regularly, so then you should continue. So I find that if you're in yeshiva, where nobody cares, and that's normal, so then what heter is there? Then you're like in Krakow. Right? It's like you're in Krakow, where nobody else, where everybody's doing it. So if everybody's doing it, so then there shouldn't be a heter to shave. That was my argument. I used to fight with one of my friends about this regularly every year, and ended up being, you know, I would have my hair gray, he wouldn't. That was our fight. Yeah. So then there's a further machlokus along these lines here. Okay, so actually, garu b'chaver, you have to let the hair grow until somebody comes and tells you, you know, you look terrible. So we're not machmed on that either. Our assumption is 30 days. You don't have to nudge someone. By the way, how do I look? Right? So you don't have to do that. We assume after 30 days we get the haircut, even when avelus over one's parents. Now, does one then have to wait again? Is actually garu b'chaver a continuous shear? Is that okay? So you 30 days after that, so now you have to wait another 30 days before one cuts their hair again, or does it stop at that point? So the Badi HaShulchan here points out that the Rabbi Kiva Eger is makel on this question, that the actually garu b'chaver is only the first time, but after that, so then you're free to go. There's no shear to have it regrowing, etc. However, he quotes from Rav Moshe that he says, "Va'af shi'esh misha cholik." There are those that are cholik. Who are those that are cholik? See, Igros Moshe Chelik Gimel Simon Kufnun Vav. Still, that you do need to wait a month every time. Nira lahakam is that one has the right to be makel on this. And thinks that that's the minhag. The minhag is that v'chedomenami d'hachinog, that people are knowing to pass in l'kula like Rabbi Kiva Eger against Rav Moshe. Generally, we have a machlokas between the two of them. We would pass in like Rav Moshe, because he comes later. This might be an example of divrei meikel b'aval. One has the right to go l'kula when it comes to the laws of Avelis. One other halacha where this kind of comes up is this lambda sort of makes itself available, is what happens if a person passes away, Shiva ends, and then a week later is Pesach. Right, so Pesach in theory ends the Shloshim. Right, Shloshim is over at that Pesach point. So if you are if one is sitting Shiva for a sibling, so then that's it. The Avelis is over Pesach. Erev Pesach, go and get a haircut, go shave. Right, that's certainly okay. What if one is sitting if one is an Avelis for one's parent? So an avelus for one's parent, even though shloshim is over, as we learned, the idea of cutting one's hair is not about shloshim, right? It's about until you look bad, until somebody tells you you look pretty bad. So does that then end on Erev Pesach? Does that end on Erev Yontif or not? Or does one have to continue until it's actually 30 days? So that's the machlokas, also a machlokas.
Until one looks bad,
which
not 30 days.
Well, we assume it's 30 days. I mean, we pass in 30 days. That's how that's the amount that we give. So would one have to not cut their hair before Yontif or not? So that's a machlokas. I think there's different girsas in the Mishnah Berurah about how we pass on this question. It's unclear what even the Mishnah Berurah himself held. So Personally, I advise people to be machmer on this unless they don't want to be machmer on it. if one feels bad already, someone has the right to feel bad. Often it comes out, the question is how suddenly the person passed away. A lot of people, if they know the person is going to be passing away in the next couple of days, so they might get a haircut beforehand to ensure, you know, They see what's going to happen. So if they did, so then all right. So you don't have to worry about getting a haircut, shaving on Erev Yontif. But if one didn't do that, then it's already been a while before since they've gotten a haircut. So then one would perhaps have the right to be makel on Erev Yontif. We have like 2 more minutes. Yeah, there. Just in the 2 more minutes, just with regards to something having to do with the laws of tearing kriya. So, laws of tearing, the Gemara actually has a line about trying to compare kriya to the other rest of the laws of avelus, and the Gemara makes a comment that divrei avelus luchud v'divrei kriya luchud. Divrei kriya is in its own category. In fact, in Shulchan Aruch, it's in its own category. It's its own. There's hilchos kriya, and there's hilchos aninus, and then there's hilchos avelus. That's the way that it's laid out in Shulchan Aruch. So, there are some suggested. Even if you assume that the rest of the laws of Avilus are derabanan, there might be room to say that the laws of Kriya are dindaraisa. The laws of tearing one's garment are biblical prohibition. Okay, 2 quick halachas when it comes to Kriya. Number one is that in the way it says it in Shulchan Aruch and the way it says it in the Gemara is that one tears Kriya at Shasamisa, that one would tear Kriya if you're there at the time of the death, or when one hears about the death, one of those two, and that if you're present at the death, so even if you're not related, you would tear Kriya at that point. So that nobody does. You don't see these doctors walking around with their coats torn up and down. And probably the reason is because there was a concern, and it's unclear why this fell out of practice. It seems to be that that's what the halach is. So the Pnei Baruch, which Pnei Baruch became the Art School Laws of Mourning. The Art School Laws of Mourning is really a translation of a work in Hebrew. So they say that perhaps the change came about because there was a concern that people wouldn't be there. People would avoid being there at the time of Misa, which isn't such a great thing. So therefore they kind of let the minug fall by the wayside. Doctors. Right, especially for doctors. We want doctors there. We don't want to. So therefore the minug sort of fell to the wayside. Another quick halacha of what one tears. So it's a little unclear, and especially how to translate old garments to modern garments. What exactly does one tear? So the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Kriya gives you a couple of limitations that then kind of leaves one scratching one's head. Okay, so what does one do? So in Simon Shin Mem Sif Yud, I believe. Yeah. So it says Afar Kasuso Eno Sarach Likroa. So what is that? So you don't have to tear your Afar Kasuso. Okay. So don't worry. That's not something you tear. Okay. So V'yesh Meforshim Shu Beged Hazeya Hadavik Lusara. So some of them say that this is a Beged that absorbs sweat that connects to the body. And some say that it's the opposite. Dahinu Beged HaElyon Shekorin Kappa. That is either the garment that absorbs sweat, or it's the garment that is the outside, which one only upasha minik shelo likro hakapa al shu meis afilu al avivimo v'likro al avivimo gam achilu shekorin kamisa. But they don't rend the kappa, but they do the kamisa. So what is this? So it seems certainly that if one is wearing an undershirt, one would not tear kriya on that. But what is this divrei, this beged kavod, that is the beged elyon that we don't? So that ends up being a little bit of a machlokas. What that referring to. Either something, it could mean something that one would only wear outside, like a jacket. So if one wears a coat, if you go to the funeral and a person's wearing a coat because it's cold outside and it's time to tear kriya, so they certainly, you wouldn't have to cut the coat that the person is wearing. But what about the jacket? That's really the big question. The shaila is, does one have to cut their jacket? So a shirt, one does. One would cut the shirt. But a jacket is a machlokas that is out there, machlokas between Taz and the Shach. What that is, Shach, perhaps one could say that it would. However, when I learned Hilchos Avelus from Sobolowski, he seemed to say that he felt that even the Shach, Zman Hazeh, wouldn't call a jacket something that would require Kriya. So people make this mistake. Certainly a shirt one would tear Kriya on. A jacket, I tell people it's a Chumrah. That's what I mean. One could be Machmir to cut their jacket, but I don't think one is required to do so. You have a little bit of a double-edged sword when it comes to Kriya, because there's also a prohibition possibly that one violates if you cut too much, and that's called baltashnis, right? You're not allowed to just go around cutting garments. So is that then okay? I mean, was one permitted to be machmir when you might go ahead and violate that other prohibition? So probably, it's probably okay. It's probably not an isser to do, certainly if one is doing it al derech halacha, but that's the way I inform people. Cutting the shirt should really be done. Cutting a jacket is a chumrah. By women, it gets even more complicated because it's what they're wearing. They have is a shell. What exactly is a shell? Is that really a garment? Is it not? Etc. So it becomes a little questionable what women should cut. But we'll have to save that for another time. What's that? All right.